This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Paul the Simple, music producer and writer. Welcome, Paul.
Hello.
Paul, you are really a champion of helping emergent artists create sustainable infrastructures for themselves. Could you talk to us about how you do this?
You know, I think artist development is a passion of mine that stems from my own, you know, individual development. You know, as somebody that grew up not, you know, with not very many resources for like creating high levels of art, you know, access to studios, access to music equipment, access to, you know, mixed media spaces, maker spaces. You know, I was left kind of like drawing a lot and like creating like as much as I could with like what I had. So, you know, and Lego, you know, things like Legos were really awesome. Things like Minecraft too were really cool to like develop my language for engineering essentially without going to school in my own artist kind of ways. And so artist development for me is, you know, finding people in the community with passion for creating, you know, making things real. And there's so many different ways we can provide those people resources, from, you know, giving them space and equipment to building, you know, strategies with them that can, you know, incorporate like ways to generate capital for their business, as well as ways to, you know, further their business through connections. So I try to attack artist development in like a multifaceted approach. And also, you know, I'm applying these ideas to myself like along the way.
Speaking of your own artistry, Paul, I always like to ask people about their artistic route. What was your kind of path like? And how did you become such an autodidact?
I think music was the first, like, real way of expressing myself, like, other than language. It was kind of like my second language, I say. And, you know, I got my first guitar when I was, I think it was, like, 6th grade or 7th grade. So I was, like, 12 or 13. And you know, I would just practice. I never had like a teacher or anything, but the internet was, you know, always just like a great resource. Like Blackbird by the Beatles was the first song I ever learned, which is like a really challenging song, but I always like really loved that song. So it kind of my love for the song motivated me to like really practice and learn. Yeah, it just ended up being really valuable for me to like learn something that was really difficult. I think music was my first way of like connecting, you know, first art form like I really connected to and like felt like spiritually connected to. And then, you know, I would like play at church and like find friends at school who also played music and we would jam. I never really like got into writing music until like I was like 20 or 19, 20. I started writing like my first songs that I would like, you know, actually write on paper and like kind of organize out. And that, you know, was like a great time for me to just like explore like songwriting. I've never really been interested in like being famous or like even, I don't even care about like generating money from music because I work as a web developer. You know, web development helps me pay my bills. So music, I can, you know, commit to it without like compromising my efforts, like just to make money in a sense. So I've always like kind of written stuff that I like and I know isn't like popular music, but it's just like what I enjoy creating. You know, through writing all those songs, I was able to like build a good repertoire of songs to, I got, you know, a couple of my friends who were organizers asked me to perform. And I think that was like the first start of me like really manifesting my songs into like this artist image that I was creating called Paul the Simple. And, you know, I think that character is very, it's like those shows that I, the initial shows I played were very complex with like, I had like you know, multiple synthesizers and like a drum machine, and like I would have my guitar and bass. So it was the idea that like I was called Paul the Simple, but I have like 10 instruments on stage and like I'm playing them all, like for every song. And that was like a year and a half before COVID hit. And then when COVID hit, you know, shows weren't really a thing. And that was kind of like my newest way of developing my artist self, because it, you know, playing shows very much motivated me to create new material as well as like practice my old material. So into COVID, I got really into like producing and like mixing and engineering music, which, you know, I'm still learning. And all three of those things, like you learn much faster if you're with people that know more than you. That's like the fastest way to learn, maybe generally, but with those three things, like I was lucky to be with people who were like pretty high level musicians and producers already. So I was able to like, you know, learn how to use Ableton. I also know how to use Pro Tools and, you know, just how to like edit audio and like essentially make songs for people where you're not the creative person, you're the like person using the tool for creation, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like that separation from being the creative, but also it's like a new, essentially what you get is a newfound understanding for like how to develop your art. You know, I think all like people that make music or even like do podcasts learn about mixing in some sense, because mixing is essentially the adding of emotion to audio through various tools. And, you know, we all have to do that to some extent for the audio that we want to produce. So it's good to like separate yourself from the like person that's creating the audio sometimes and just be the person who is like adding the emotion to the audio. Because it just gives you a very objective view of like what that process means. Yeah, so that's kind of where I am now in my process. You know, I'm working with a couple artists. You know, one in Malaysia named Nathany. She's a singer-songwriter, and I've been like mixing songs, and we've been writing songs together, and you know, producing music. And she has like a big TikTok following, and like she's been releasing songs like once a month. So it's kind of a good outlet for me. I don't have to be like in the spotlight, but I'm still able to like produce at a high level and like getting like attention to the work and like getting like people talking about it and listening to it, like feels good.
When I ask people about their root, I get a gamut of responses. You know, sometimes people who tell me about, yes, my parents were really into music and music was playing at my house all the time and my parents played multiple instruments. Or I get, actually, my dad was a basketball coach and that's all we did. So like, where is your answer on that kind of spectrum of what you grew up with?
I think that's what, you know, I talked about my root and I didn't even talk about like the music I listened to really. And that, you know, when I was growing up, my family's from India and we listened to a lot of Indian music. They were also like Christians, so we listened to a lot of Christian music. Just being real about Christian music, it can be like slightly one-dimensional. Really awesome to learn Christian music though. Like that was a really awesome way to like learn how to play music and like understand how music essentially functions with people. But beyond that, I did a lot of discovery of like pop music. Like myself, you know, like listening to the Beatles, you know, I found the Beatles, you know, with like the help of friends essentially. And like, I was always like inquisitive of music and like asking questions of people, like what they like to listen to. You know, Elvis Costello, I listened to a lot. I listened to, and you know, Bob Dylan, definitely like old school stuff, but very heavy in like songwriting.
Was that ever a point of contention in your family when you started to explore pop music? Because, you know, I grew up, my mom was teaching at a missionary school abroad for like 10 years. And so I was friends with a lot of missionary kids, and that was constantly a point of contention, what kind of music we listened to and if it fell within, you know, like the approved genres of pop music or Christian music. Or if it was, you know, too mainstream or, you know, satanic, et cetera. You know, I grew up actually during the satanic panic, so that was kind of a big deal. Did you have any conflicts like that?
You know, I moved out really early too. I think that was like something, but because like probably I was just listening to like Christian music and the Beatles probably until I was like 15. And then like, then, you know, and Christian music is pretty dense. Like there's a whole bunch of different genres inside of there and like different style of music. But yeah, my parents like pretty much wanted me to specifically listen to Christian music. It was definitely limiting. And I did, I liked Christian music. You know, I found like the artists inside of those genres that like I really enjoyed, you know, and then I moved out like by the time I was like 17. So it kind of like gave me, you know, that just like started, you know, I stopped listening to Christian music essentially and listened to like everything else.
That's kind of a young age, a slightly young age to move out, 17.
No, for sure. It was like, I was just having conflicts with my mom, like essentially like on these kind of tips. Also, you know, she really wanted me to go to school. And, you know, that was like and I was like ending high school at that time, you know, just about to turn 18 and like end high school. Yeah, for her, you know, it was like she brought me here so I could like go to college essentially. Yeah, I just like I had a really hard time in high school because I found high school very like confining of my abilities, honestly.
I think a lot of kids actually find themselves in that situation with high school. So is that part of the way, let's say, I wouldn't say the reason, but is that part of like the way that you really began to inhabit that intersection between art and technology?
Definitely. Yeah. And technology was always my like escape out of that because there was just like so like it's all about how you ask the question when you're on the internet. And like I was really good at that, you know, like I learned music through there really fast. And then I learned web development pretty much like only through the internet. I've been learning like a lot of stuff now that like I have like a little bit more time and like money and stuff. I've just been now using the internet, like learning how to garden. The internet is actually such a great resource for that. Also learning how to eat better, creating like more intentional foods that have like, you know, fats, proteins, you know, sugars, like balanced.
Over the past year, I really put my focus on the natural environment. And I have learned so much about native flora and fauna that when I go for a walk now, I feel like I'm seeing everything in a totally new way and noticing all the changes, you know, with the seasons, with the rains, with, you know, everything quite a bit more. And I learned a lot of that online.
You know, I was blessed, like, out of high school, you know, to learn web development. And I just have, like, you know, good, like, people skills generally. And I understand that. So it made me, like, good at managing clients. And that was, that became my job, like, during the college period of my life was just, like, managing clients and, like, doing web development work. I got a job in Phoenix essentially doing web development work and client management. And I was able to like enter like a career path without like having to go to school. And then I was just like learning along the way.
I think there's a big realization happening now. And I see this a lot with job adverts to not necessarily require degrees for degrees' sake, because there are a lot of people who have, we call them post-traditional trajectories, like what you're describing, where it's like, you know, the person you want for the job could very well not have a degree and be completely the right fit for the job. You know, asking for a degree for degree's sake actually eliminates a lot of people, you know, from your candidate pool who could actually be excellent candidates. You're eliminating them just because they didn't follow kind of the traditional chronology, let's say. So, you know, I think it's really great to hear your story and, you know, how you went on this trajectory that didn't necessarily involve degrees, but it definitely involved education.
There's so many different avenues for education.
It really is. Paul, when I think about your art, and your philosophies, the word that comes to mind is culture jamming. To define it, it's a cultural practice that can expose assumptions, resist conformity, transcend the status quo. What do you think about kind of using your education and your art to get around these boxes that we often find ourselves in? I think you and I met when you were hosting a free workshop for artists. Not everybody takes the time to try to organize that and put that together. What was the thought process behind that?
Passion for like creating, or like having like people in our community create. It's definitely like one of my, and it's something I share with a couple of collaborators that I work with. And you know, KP, who's somebody that like worked on that workshop with me, definitely, mm-hmm. you know, we inspire each other in those ways, because like it's sometimes hard to take action when you're by yourself, but like if you have like multiple people that feel the same way about something, and like you just have like a very transparent conversation, like pretty much anything becomes possible. You know, I was able to set up like a good web infrastructure for that, and like take online applications for people, and we were able to do like screenings and like make sure that people were like suited for like what we were going to offer, and make sure what we were offering we could like optimize for the experience. And that's where teamwork is really essential, because then, you know, neither of us had to take on the bulk of that work ourselves and could like really share that load. You know, it was really like the energy of like people working together through that event. You know, low-key, we just wanted to inspire people to like organize more, which I think we did in our own ways too, you know, to show that if you just like find a space and like are able to really come with that like professionalism, yeah, you could, even if you're young, like you can pretty much, yeah, make whatever you want happen.
I met a number of really inspiring emergent artists over the course of those days, and I saw a number of them go on to get Arts Foundation grants. So I believe in that project, you know, I believe in the power of people coming together to support each other. You know, when we talk, it sounds like relationships are really important to you. And it seems like a lot of your major collaborations have taken root through those relationships. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. Like, how do you meet people? How do you nurture those relationships?
Relationships are really important. You know, we each have to hold them in our own ways, like the ways that we feel capable. I mean, like being really, you know, very real, like a lot of it comes down to, like, I love to cook, you know? So like, if you're hanging out with me, like at my house and you're hungry, like I'm probably going to cook for you. And, you know, because I understand like food is like a way to like share energy directly. And I think that like, just like sharing food with people, like opens up like new conversations and like new opportunities, as well as like, you know, comforting and nurturing like what's being built at the same time. You know, during COVID, I was doing like, it wasn't very frequent, probably like once every month, like masked sessions, you know, with people, whether we're making music or whether we're just like sitting 6 feet apart and kind of talking about music and like maybe sharing songs. I think like, yeah, that's also something, you know, I love to do, is just like sit in a room with somebody and just like, let's play like music that you like, or that you've made, or that like your friend made. The first time I met Nathany, or like the first time I hung out with Nathany, we made like an album, because, you know, she's from Malaysia and I'm from India, and she, you know, we had like an hour long convo just about like our life and like experiences, and we used, you know, our conversation to essentially like build music and like conceptual music that like reflects our shared experiences. You know, I think doing that work with people is like very healing, because like it opens us up to, you know, things we haven't yet processed, while also like creating space for like new feelings in the exact same way that like food can do those things too. The exact same way that music can. Same way that like mixed media can do these things as well.
Paul, what are you working on now? What would you like to work on in the future?
Yeah, I'm working on like some very, very crazy websites for some different like record labels. We just did like this Kanye site, you know, opening myself into like new websites and stuff that are all have like music incorporated. And that's, you know, that's part of like what I want to be working on, is like really tying like this music work with like my web work, because like music is a passion. Web is also a passion, but like music is really my passion. And then personally, like as Paul the Simple, I have like 4 albums that are done. Essentially, I'm just like waiting to finalize some stuff and getting some like extra instruments added, and I'll just be like rolling them out over like a year. I got a whole bunch of like collaborations too. Me and Nathany just finished her album, and that's going to be dropping in September. She had a couple of the last songs we made get picked up by a label. She graduated college when she was like 20, I think. And then, you know, she's still 20, or she's 21 right now. So she's really doing things like well for herself, and I'm like very proud of her. And it's awesome to like be a part of her growth. I'm also working with some collaborators, Kazo and DJQ, also goes by Them and I. And we have like 30 plus songs that we're organizing into an album, and we're making some videos as well. Over the past year and a half, I've made like, my computer says I've made like a terabyte of music. I've pretty much just been trying to, if I'm not making like a song a day, then I'm trying to make like 2 or 3 songs with like somebody else.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for talking with us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at Will Carl, they are currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.